Every summer, I ask students preparing for law school to define murder for me. And every summer, a few students have the courage to raise their hands and attempt a definition. It takes courage because every summer, I inform them that they likely have no idea what murder means with certainty. In order to define it, they'd need to know how the legislature in that particular state defines it, what elements legislators have decided are important, the elements the prosecution must prove for a murder conviction. Here's what I mean. In Illinois, for example, painting with a broad brush and ignoring possible defenses, it's first-degree murder, as you'd expect, if you kill someone and you've planned ahead to do it. But in New York, it's first-degree murder under more specific circumstances only. If you kill a police officer, for example, or if you kill someone in an act of terrorism. All other murder, aside from those specific circumstances, is second degree. The elements of the various degrees of murder and manslaughter become critical in cases like the one involving the dog attack in California. Last week, a jury convicted the dog owners of second-degree murder and involuntary manslaughter after prosecutors proved to the jury's satisfaction that the owners were responsible, criminally, for their dog's fatal attack on a neighbor. How we get from pet ownership to murder conviction is based both on statutory language and prior case law. In California, like Illinois, it's first-degree murder if you plan ahead. And all other murders, broadly, are in the second degree. Involuntary manslaughter, the lesser crime, means, in California, killing someone during a lawful act, say, pet ownership, without taking necessary due caution. You own dangerous dogs, let them roam, they kill someone. The jury found that meets the elements of second-degree murder and involuntary manslaughter in the Golden State. It's not so unusual for a jury to find all the elements of manslaughter when the defendant's animal has run amok and killed someone. There are cases from Florida, North Carolina, Georgia, others, all involving killings by nasty dogs and defendants convicted of manslaughter. But a murder conviction is more unusual because, unlike a murder by rattlesnake bite case upheld by the United States Supreme Court in the 1940s, they involve unplanned attacks, and we think of murder as exactly the opposite, as a scheme. In a Kansas case from 3 years ago, one of the very, very few in the law books, the Supreme Court there upheld a second-degree murder conviction against a woman who owned Rottweilers. The dogs attacked and killed an 11-year-old boy. The owner had shown extreme indifference to human life, one of the elements of second-degree murder in Kansas, the court decided, when she did not restrain her dogs adequately, knowing they were dangerous. And a California court in 1989 refused to dismiss a murder charge against a man whose pit bull attacked and killed a toddler. The court found that he'd raised his dog to be a fighter and knew its temperament, but a jury later found him guilty only of manslaughter. So expect an appeal to the next level of court in the California case based on the tiny number of decisions involving a murder conviction springing from an animal's actions. And with all the press coverage, I'll expect students this summer to know that murder doesn't always mean what we think it does. I'm Amy Guida.